Let us all say amen. And we know that's a true song because the fact that as we sung the song, it talks about how we were going down and how God lifted us up. And that lifting first came through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so we want to be thankful to the Lord and show him how thankful we are in our service to him. Amen? I want to welcome you to service this afternoon. And we look at God's word again. And Brother Brown, if you'll get me set up here. Okay, you're doing that for me now. We want to bring the second portion of our lesson on this morning. Okay. And so we want to talk this afternoon on, are you an obedient Christian? Amen? We talked this morning about things that how we can become and how all of us at some time were once disobedient, and how God, through his word, allows us to see ourselves. And so tonight we want to look at, ask that question that we ask ourselves, is, are you a obedient Christian? I want to just start off again, as I did this morning. Maybe someone that was not here this morning is here this afternoon, looking at the fact of Brother O's, looking at again, what is the preacher's responsibility to the congregation? Then I'll get into our message this morning. Colossians 1:27, Paul wrote to the Colossian church and said what?
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
Okay.
Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So Paul, in writing to them, talked about how we have to realize there are riches. There are things that God has for us. He says, in the fact that those of us that are in Jesus, he said, which is Christ in you, and we have the hope of glory. Verse 28, he said what?
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, mm-hmm. that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
So we talked about the fact that Paul said that we ought to preach, we preach Jesus, but the responsibility of the preachers, Brother Brooks, myself, or anyone who mounts the pulpit, is our responsibility is to warn every man and to teach every man in all wisdom that we might notice now, it's our responsibility that when you stand before the Lord, you may be able to stand before the Lord perfect in who? In Christ Jesus. And so we talked about, again, just revisit for a moment, the fact that we talked this morning about it is your responsibility to put in your mind, we're going to share things, the pulpit that allows you to put the word of God in your mouth, And the purpose of it is to urge you to do something or not to do something in order to avoid dangers that we can run into spiritually and trouble spiritually. In other words, responsibility of the preacher is to warn you. Amen?
Amen?
All right. And we talked about what perfect means. Perfect from what Paul was saying. Again, for those that were not here this morning, you'll find those that are Greek students. You can find, I give you the spelling of the word. You can go and run it, erase it as it relates to what the Greek spelling of the word is. But the meaning is what we're concerned with, what the Lord say in English. And so being perfect is having or showing the mental and emotional qualities of a mature person. As a Christian in the Lord, we ought to grow. We shouldn't be one where I'm so emotionally unstable that when things come my way, then I'm one that I just lose everything. But Paul said the purpose of the word is to teach you how to become mature in the Lord, how you can be a Christian in the Lord, and how I can deal with lives vicissitudes or things, life changes. The world is going to change. The world is changing. Amen. But as a Christian, when I am, as Paul said, the responsibility of the warning you is that you may be perfect. And then we talked about, again, Brother Oz, verse number 9 of Colossians, talking about how sometimes I was trying to encourage us to learn to do what I call manuscript study, where when a manuscript is something that's a letter, something that's been written by hand. And so I talked about how when we do manuscript study, you'll find oftentimes with Paul, a style was that he'll mention a word before where he talked about wisdom, but when you see it previously, he defined what it was. Verse number 9, Brother Oz.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
So what we find that when Paul talks about wisdom, wisdom is a knowledge of God's will. And all wisdom is that I got to take the knowledge and use good judgment. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And so when I talk about spiritual understanding, it's me understanding what the meaning of something is. When it comes to the Word of God, I need to know what it means. So we want to look at on this evening, are you an obedient Christian? So we go back to Peter. And I want to say to us, 1 Peter chapter 1, brother Oz, verse 1 and 2, that to become a Christian, all of us must have shown obedience. 1 Peter 1, 1.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia.
Read.
Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
So Paul said to them when he wrote to those in Pontus and Cappadocia and Asia, what he wrote to them, he said, now you need to understand that you are elect or you are chosen to be a Christian. He said, according to the foreknowledge of God, God knows everything. God is all-knowing. God knows those who are going to obey him and those who are not going to obey him. And he said it happened through the sanctification of the Spirit unto, notice now, obedience. And obedience means to do what someone tells you to do. So we had to show obedience. Yes. Somebody had to teach us the gospel. Mm-hmm. We had to listen. We had to make a decision to show obedience. And he said it happened because of, notice here, the sprinkling of the blood. And what he talked about, the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It took Jesus' blood, and it took us coming in contact with the blood and water baptism. And then Peter said, because of that, he said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Mm-hmm. And so we had to show obedience to God in order to become a Christian. So now the question is, a couple of questions want to put on the floor. What should be the mindset of the Christian? Verse 13, brother Oz.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
So the mindset of a Christian, Peter said, you gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And so to gird up simply means we ought to wear as a clothing. Mm-hmm. He said, gird your mind, and that's your spiritual alertness. As a Christian, we got to walk around alert, understanding what things we're going through. And so Peter said that I want you to gird up your mind and that I want you to be such that you are walking around, you are spiritually alert about things that are going on. And he talks about being sober. And while I'm there, the word sober, for those that want to know, means to be free from the influence of toxins, such as alcohol drinks that causes one to lose, to be less able to control themselves. Yeah. So a Christian ought to be one that's sober. Yeah. Nothing that that causes me not to be able to control myself. And the problem sometimes is that when we can't control ourselves. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So what does that mean when he said, gird up the loins of your mind? Go to Brother Oz, Exodus chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. I want to just establish what that means, what the mindset is when a person gird up the loins of their mind as a Christian. We got an example in the Old Testament that we can apply today. Verse 11.
And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded,
read,
your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
So now notice what he said back then. The commandment from Moses was to gird up their loins. But now notice what he says in verse 12. For I will
pass through the land of Egypt this night.
No, that's good. Mm-hmm. What the Lord is saying to us, what Peter was saying, is that as a Christian, when I gird up my loins of my mind and I'm sober, what I'm doing is that they understood that the Lord was going to pass through this night. Mm-hmm. As a Christian, You ought to live every day like this is your last night.
Amen.
Mm. Yeah. That's what going up the loins of your mind mean. They understood that. They knew that God told them, I'm going to pass through. We ought to live a life understanding that at any time, I think the brother may have said it in the prayer, Pope may have said in the prayer, we don't know what life is going to be. We can be here today and gone. Yeah. So I have to live a life understanding that I don't know when the Lord is going to come. And whenever he comes, that's the end of my time.
Amen.
And so when the Exodus writer wrote that, he said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. And so we want to have a mindset that we gird ourselves up, a mind that's sober, a mind that's looking for the Lord to come. Go back to Peter, Brother O. Go back to Peter. In verse 14.
As obedient children,
yeah,
not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance.
Read.
But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
So now, when we talk about obedience, thank you for those. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. We talked about this morning about some of the lust that we had in our ignorance. But now we've been taught better. And the very obedient simply means the act of obeying to do what someone else tells you to do. We talked about this morning that the opposite of being obedient is to be disobedient. But I have to have a mindset. I was talking to someone today and they were talking about understanding that in order to be obedient, humility comes along with that. We have to learn to humble ourselves and always understand that there's somebody else that's going to be telling us what to do. And we understand that God is that person that written in his word what he wants us to do. So we're going to be obedient children. And notice he says that as obedient children, he says, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And conversation simply means your lifestyle and your behavior. So understand this. If the Lord asks us to do something, it's something that we can be. Yeah. Holy is something that we can be holy by looking at the text. The conversation again means the way in which you live your lifestyle. So we ought to have a lifestyle that's consistent with what being holy. And Peter said, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. And then the word holy simply means the conduct that is proper for a Christian. We ought to have, and it's obtainable because we can be, as a Christian, we can have behavior that's consistent with the will of God.
Amen.
So the Lord says, Peter says in that text, as obedient children, as God is holy, I'm asking you to be holy. Holy is something that we can obtain. And so I want to show briefly how that process, how the Christian can be learn obedience and live to please God. Go to Thessalonian letter, Brother Oles. The Christian that is holy learns obedience and lives to please God. I'm going to show us how this morning I talked about parents training their children, but now you also need to be trained. Look in Thessalonians chapter, verse number 1, Brother Oles.
Which one?
First Thessalonians 4, chapter 1. First Thessalonians 4, verse number 1. Yeah.
Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more.
So notice he said, and when Paul wrote to Thessalonians, he said, brother, I'm going to exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to do what? Please God. So our walk should be one that we're trying to please God. He says, so ye would do that, abound in that more and more. Verse 2.
For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
Okay, so he said, now, Paul said, I've given you commandments, and these commands come from the Lord. We talked about this morning. There are commands that God has given. God is the one that gave the command, not us, not the preacher, but the these commands come from the Lord. Then he says in verse number 3.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication.
So now, evidently that was an issue there because the Holy Spirit gave Paul the opportunity to write that. He says, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Sanctification simply means you separate from your bad ways. All of us coming to the Lord, we have ways. But what the Lord says to sanctify is to simply separate myself from those ways. And so he talked about fornication again. We talked about this morning how I can have desire and I can have pleasure when I satisfy those desires. But whenever I participate in unlawful sexual intercourse, that violates the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so Paul said that. So what is the answer? Paul said to those in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that in order burning, you need to get married. Amen. In order to please God, we have to do as God has said do and not live a life that's not pleasing to God.
Right.
So how does one stop the behavior? Verse 4, Brother Oles.
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
Now, this morning I talked about the fact that the word chastening means that you gain control of that child by requiring them to obey rules and then punish them for behavior. Now, in this text, it means the same thing, but this time you got to control yourself. Yeah, you have to, just as we, those of us that are parents, we got our children to obey us, and we gain control of them by establishing rules and regulations, punishing bad behavior. What Paul said here, now it's your responsibility to gain control of yourself. We can't do everything we want to do. You have to learn, I have to learn how to control our bodies. Yeah, that's what the word possess means. He said that, notice, he says in the text, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, and he said that every one of you, every one of us should learn how to possess. The word vessel means body, and do it in sanctification and honor. Verse 5.
Not in the lust of concupiscence,
even
as the Gentiles which know not God.
So he said, now, understand this, as a Christian, we don't give in to those lusts that we have as the Gentile. See, people in the world do whatever they want to do. You know, this world is getting so bad now. It's getting so bad now. Oftentimes, you can't tell a male from a female. It's getting that bad. You know, people are just giving in to their whatever desire, whatever they want to be, they're giving into it. But Paul says to us, we are not like that, even as the Gentiles, which don't know. We know God.
Amen.
And God expects us to behave a certain way. And then verse number 7, Brother Old, for God
had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness.
So God is saying, so what is the answer to this? That a Christian learns obedience to the word of God. As Paul said, for these commandments we have given you by the Lord Jesus. So how I become obedient Christian is I learn to obey the word of God. I learn to live to try to please God. And he said, as Paul finishes here, he said, but God has not called us unto uncleanness, but God has called us unto holiness, our state of being holy. And the holy has nothing to do with, we talked about this morning in class, it doesn't mean I'm sinless, but I try to learn to sin less.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I try to learn to sin less, more and more trying to please God. And so go back to Peter's lesson. I'm going to bring this to a close, and the message here will be yours. Are you an obedient Christian? When I learn from the word of God, I strive to be holy. I give myself to the commands of God, and I learn it's my responsibility to possess my own vessel. It's my responsibility to gain control of my body. I shouldn't just let my body do whatever I want to do. Yeah, you say, well, how did that happen, Mother Brown? Understand this here. make this simple. Anything your body wants to do has to first go through your mind. Say it again. Anything your body wants to do has to go through your mind. Yeah. And so that's why when I said this earlier, he said, put in your mind. I talked about this morning about when your mind is clogged up with all kind of stuff, then you can't help yourself. But when I clear my mind up, then when my body wants to do stuff that's not consistent with God, then what I understand, God has already warned Horace Stroud, you need to control your own body. Yes, my responsibility. And so when those thoughts come in my mind, example, Brother Stroud, get for me Ephesians. Turn your, I want y'all to open your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you a practical example. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 4, Brother Oles. Chapter 4, let me get the verse there for you. I want to say verse 26. Yeah. Yeah. Look at verse number, we'll start at verse 26. That's fine. Yeah.
Be ye angry and sin not.
Yeah.
Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Yeah, now. So the Lord says, watch this here. How does Christianity, how does mature come in? The Lord says that I can get angry with, I may get angry with Sister Stroud, but the Lord says to me, but don't sin. Yeah, I may get angry, but don't sin. And then he said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, as soon as you cool off, Brother Stroud, you go and make up with Sister Stroud. Mm. Yeah, that's, and as Christians, with relationships that we have with other people, when I may get warm about something, but when I'm mature, I go back to that person. And I share with that person, brother, I was wrong. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 said, do what?
Neither give place to the devil.
Yeah, because understand this here. Whenever you let that stuff fester in you, you are giving. The word place in that text means opportunity to the devil. Mm. We don't realize many of us, some of us, we're the ones that give the devil opportunity. Mm. Yeah. But then my point that I want to make, he says in verse 28, he said what?
Let him that stole steal no more.
Yeah.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it.
So now, the text teaches me this, that even though I may want something, and even though that may have been part of my behavior when I was younger, stealing, but the Bible teaches me now, let him that stole steal no more. But what I have to do, I have to go out and get a job. Yeah, and I have to work with my hands. And not only that, the Lord says that I don't work with my hands just for me, but I work with my hands to give to somebody else that's in what?
Need.
Yeah. Amen. And that's proper teaching. So I understand that the word of God, irregardless of how I come into the Lord, God's word can teach me. I can come in and be the biggest thief in the world, but if I listen to the word of God, I put the word of God in my mind, it'll allow me no longer to do what God has commanded me not to do. And again, it's the preacher's responsibility to teach us things to do and those things not to do. So I can become holy simply by learning what God has said. I can stop that bad behavior that I have by possessing my own vessel. And a lot of sometimes we allow our body to rule our mind. Yeah, you want to do something and you just do what you want to do. I said that's more. That's the definition of disobedience. I'm going to do what I. Yeah. But when you're trying to be holy, when you're trying to please God, you don't let your body do whatever you want to do. You control your body. And you control your body through your mind. Yeah. And sometimes, understand this here, we have, I'll call it two gateways. Be careful, little eyes, what you
see.
Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Yeah. Sometimes we get in trouble by what we and what we, yeah, that's our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Our responsibility. And so in closing, I'm going to go back to Peter. And again, like I said, I like to go back and try to find the gospel in the letter for I'm reading. So go back to 1 Peter 1. The Christian apostle reminds the Christian what Christ did for them. 1 Peter 1:18, as I move to a close. 1 Peter 1:18.
For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things,
yeah,
as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers.
Read.
But with the precious blood of Christ,
uh-huh,
as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
So what Peter said to them is that, he said, for as much as you know that we were bought or redeemed with a price, and the price wasn't corruptible thing like money. He said, from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your father. In other words, we pick up stuff from our parents, and if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing they do. But he said that, understand this here, you wasn't redeemed with money. He says in verse 19, it was the precious blood of Jesus. See, you can find the gospel throughout the word of God, you just got to know where it's at. So what Peter was reminding them when he wrote that manuscript, he reminded them that, understand this here, you guys were just like your fathers. You were doing the same thing your parents were doing. But understand this, while you were doing that, what God did is love you enough, he sent the precious blood of Jesus. He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 23, Brother Owens.
Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren.
Yeah.
See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Yeah. So he says here let me go back here. He said, being born again. Excuse me, I said verse 23. He said, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by what? The word of God. So that's the gospel right there. Somebody had to teach you the word of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You obeyed that and you were born again. He said, now which liveth and abideth forever and ever. So we understand a person become a Christian. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, you have to be born again. The Bible teaches us it's the word of God, but there are specific words of God that you got to hear. You got to hear what is called in other places the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He suffered on the cross for you that you might show obedience to God. I said that in 1 Peter 1 and 2. You might show obedience to God, be water baptized for the remission of all your past sins, and then the Lord adds you to the church. And then he talked about baptism, 1 Peter 3:21, Brother Owens, as I close. 1 Peter 3:21.
The like figure,
yeah,
whereunto even baptism doth also now save us,
yeah,
not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
So we understand this. Notice that Peter talked to him about being born again, but even in that letter, that's why I talked about the beauty of learning to study the whole letter, because you'll find it flows. Peter said, reminded them, he said, the like figure, in verse 20 he talked about you're saved by water. He said, the like figure whereunto even now baptism do also now save us. And it's not the reason that you take a bath. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer. I got a good conscience toward God and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we find that today as I close, that one becomes a Christian by being born again. One becomes a Christian by understanding about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to be obedient to that word. You make the confession according to Acts 8:37 that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You are then water baptized for the remission of your sin, and then the Lord adds you to the church, the only one that you'll find in the Bible. If there's someone today that desires to obey the Lord or to respond to the message, are you an obedient Christian? We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.